Now the word of God to the prophecy of Hosea, chapter 11, reading the verses 1 through 9. Hosea, chapter 11, the verses 1 through 9. We hear the word of the Lord our God through his servant Hosea as follows. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals. They burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? Swords will flash in their cities, will destroy the bars of their gates, and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even if they call to the Most High, He will by no means exalt them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God. And not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. So far, reading from the Word of God. Now we turn to a summary of the Word of God, which includes the passage that we just read, Lord's Day 9, Heidelberg Catechism. Page 876, if you do have the Trinity Psalter Hymnal in hand. Page 876, Lord's Day 9. So in this section of the Catechism, we work through the Apostles' Creed, article by article, and having in Lord's Day 8 confessed the truth of our triune God, we now continue. And these are the words of our confession. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them, by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father for the sake of Christ his Son. I trust God so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends upon me in this vale of tears. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I say to you one word, Father, what comes to your mind? Now, please note carefully the way that question is worded. The question is not, if I say Father, who comes to your mind? That would probably be quite straightforward. There is a man who comes to your mind as soon as that word Father is mentioned. You say, that man or that man, whether he's here or somewhere further away, but that's my dad, or whether he has been taken up into heaven. But that's not the question. The question is, if I say to you, Father, what comes to your mind? That is to say, what words, what ideas, what emotions do you associate with Father? And there could be quite a few different things that come to your mind, and what may come to the mind of one may be different than another here. There may be some very positive words that come to your mind. When I say Father, you may think of love, a sense of security, advice, provision. Dad makes sure that I have what I need, or when I still lived at home with him, he made sure that we had food on the table and clothes on our bodies. You may also have certain words that come to your mind like honor, respect. After all, honor your father and your mother, fifth commandment. So there could be a whole cluster of very positive words that come to your mind, but there could be a cluster of negative ones as well. Maybe when you think of Father, you might think of a man who was, by and large, absent from your life, only came in certain moments. You might think of a man who, truth be told, kind of intimidated you, maybe even made you feel afraid at times. You might think of the word disappointment, because there were times that you had a certain expectation of what a dad, what your dad should do or should say. He didn't do it. He didn't say it. And so there could also be a whole cluster of negative words. And for many of us, maybe even for most of us, it's going to be some mixture of the two. Some very positive thoughts, impressions, memories, experiences, and also some rather negative ones. And the challenge with focusing this afternoon on the truth confessed in this Lord's Day is that as soon as we hear that word Father, in the first article of the Apostles' Creed, in the ninth Lord's Day of the Heidelberg Catechism, as soon as that word Father is there, that this whole group of positive or negative, or positive and negative associations just flood into our mind, and by the end of the sermon is still there. But look at the two words that are before God the Father. I believe. That is not the same as saying I think about, or I consciously or unconsciously associate with? I believe says something different. When we say, as we did a little bit earlier in this worship service, I believe in God the Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, then, as we say together in Lord's Day 7, what is believing? What is true faith? True faith is not only a sure knowledge by which I hold as true all that God has revealed to us in His Word, also everything that He has revealed to us about being our Father, eternal, almighty, and unfaithful. And therefore, brothers and sisters, as we begin this afternoon, we have to consciously take that stand, the stand of faith, the stand which bases our faith right here in the Word of God. And whatever impressions you may have about your father or fathers in general over the years, whatever positive, whatever negative, but we have to take what God Himself says, and that is what we hold as true, Lord's Day 7, about Him. And that will lead to a deep comfort. And so this is the way we go forward this afternoon, confessing that the Father of Christ is also my Father. We say that together as congregation. The Father of Christ is my Father. And we'll see in particular three things: that He is my eternal Father, my almighty Father, and finally, my faithful Father. There is also something else very striking about the beginning of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But brothers and sisters, have you ever thought about that order? Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth after that. It is rather striking, because the Apostles' Creed as a creed is a summary of the Word of God. And when you open up your Bible and you start reading, what's the very first thing that you hear about? God as Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then the explanation in Genesis 1 and 2. And there God's revelation goes. And now try in your minds to think about the first passage in the Bible that speaks explicitly about God as our Heavenly Father. Are you going to have to go in your mind for a while? And actually, one of the first times that God is explicitly called Father is in the book of Psalms. It's there in Psalm 2. It's there in Psalm 68, the Father of the fatherless. It's there in Psalm 89, the Father of David, the King. And you can think of other passages in the Old Testament. Malachi, Jeremiah speak about God as Father. Brothers and sisters, it's not really until the New Testament that we start to much more frequently and consistently start to hear about God, the first person of our triune God, as Father. And therefore, no one could fault you if you asked the question, well, why then does the Apostles' Creed, summarizing the Word of God, put it in this order? Why don't we say, I believe in God, the Creator of heaven and earth, think Genesis 1 and 2, the Father Almighty, as He is revealed in the course of Scripture. But the Apostles' Creed turns that around, and it does so with a very particular purpose. Because, brothers and sisters, in Ephesians chapter 1, something that is so fundamental to our faith, something that is just at the bottom of our comfort, is revealed in these words. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father. Now please note, not praise be to the God who is my Father, praise be to the God who is our Father. No, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for He chose us. He, God the Father, chose us in Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. That is to say, long before, God was ever your Father or my Father. Long before He was the Father even of Adam and Eve. Before the creation, in eternity, He just always was God the Father of His only begotten Son. And that truth is so primary. That truth is so fundamental. That truth, brothers and sisters, is such a formative, such a shaping thing for the message of comfort that comes in the truth of God's Word, that the Apostles' Creed and the Catechism working that out says that's where we begin with our confession. Note this, straight from Ephesians chapter 1, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then who is the Creator, the one who rules over everything, the one who works out in His providence His care for creation, but that Father of Christ is my God and my Father for the sake of Christ His Son. Miss that truth, and we miss so much of the comfort. How so? God the Father never became Father. You see? And that's what's so fundamentally different between any man who becomes a father and God who is heavenly Father. No male child is born a dad. That's impossible. That just does not happen. There is a time, at some point, in the young man's life, when he's grown up, when he's matured, and if the Lord blesses his life in that way, that the Lord takes the man and He gives him the blessing of being a husband. And once again, if the Lord blesses the marriage in that way, then that husband becomes a father. And then that's just the beginning. Because now he has to learn. Oh, and he may think about how his dad or his grandfather, and he may ask some other men, but fundamentally he has to learn how to be a good dad. And there will be mistakes and regrets. It's a process. But you see, with God, I believe we have to take God's Word, not our experiences as the beginning. God never had to learn how to be Father. He's eternal Father. Always was, always is, always will be Father. Which also means that He was and is and always will be consistent Father. There's the other difference. With our earthly fathers, there's good moments, and there's not so good moments. There's up, and there's down. But God dwells in eternity. There's no up. There's no down. There's only perfect eternal consistency. That's our eternal Father. And He is our Father for the sake of Christ, His Son. The end of that first sentence in the Catechism. For the sake of Christ, His Son. When you talk about earthly fathers, and if you ask the question, well, why are you the son or daughter
of your dad? Well, at a certain point, it comes down to biology. But here, if someone asks, why are you a son or daughter of the Heavenly Father? We say, Christology. For the sake of Christ. It's not based on my piety. It's not based on my performance. It's based on our Savior. And you see, brothers and sisters, that gives such a solidity, such a consistency, such a security to the relationship. It's not based on you. It's rooted in Christ. And this then is what comes out already in the foreshadowing in Hosea chapter 11. That the fatherhood of God, of His people, is not rooted in the people, but rooted in His own love and grace as it comes to fullest expression in Jesus Christ. Let's look a little more closely at Hosea chapter 11 where this comes out so clearly. Here, God, our God, speaks about His people Israel as Abba. This is the voice, not merely of an almighty God, but of a loving Father. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. Can you hear the Father voice? Israel, that's my son, says our God. But this is a father whose heart has been hurt. But the more I, God the Father, call to Israel, my son, the more they ran away. If you're a dad, and I'm quite sure that any mom can identify with this as well, if you're calling your young child, say, my son, my daughter, come, come. They just run away from you. If it's in the backyard, it can be all fun and games and maybe even cute. But if there's danger there, big danger, and you say, my son, daughter, stop, come back to me. They keep on going right to that danger. You know the pain. You know the hurt. The more I called Israel, the further they went away. And where are they going? They're going to the Baals. Baal was the husband god of the Canaanites. Baal was the father figure of the Canaanites. Do you sense something of the offense, the hurt that the Son is causing the Heavenly Father? It's one thing, brothers and sisters, when you see your son or your daughter doing something that's foolish, something that you've taught them and said, don't do that, my son. Don't do that, my daughter. They still go ahead and do it. That's hard, really hard. But when they turn their back on you and say, I prefer that other father, I run away from you, God, and I run to Baal, the other father, words do not describe. And they not only ran to the Baals, they worshiped the Baals, they sacrificed, they devoted their lives to the other false father. And God says, I taught you to walk. I held you by the right hand. When you took those wobbly first steps, I was the one who was holding you. Do you not realize that? When you fell down and scraped your knee, I was the one who bandaged it. I healed them. I've led you all these years with a father heart, kindness, compassion, love. Verse 4. And now this, O Israel, this is no cold and distant God, brothers and sisters. This is Father speaking. And as Father, He will also love enough to punish. And that's what you see in the verses 5 through 7. And the punishment will be hard. Swords will flash in their cities, destroy the bars of their gates. But the stubbornness is also hard. Verse 7. My people are determined. This is no foolish mistake. This is a stubborn rebellion. And the Father puts them through a hard punishment. We call it the exile into Assyria. But He's eternal, Father. Don't ever mistake it. And that's why, straight from the bottom of the eternal Father heart, come these words, verses 8. How can I give you up, Ephraim? You're my son. Even if I have to punish you, you are my son. How could I hand you over? How could I ever treat you, Ephraim, like Admah? You know what Admah was? It was a little town just outside of Sodom and Gomorrah. Likewise, Zeboim, a little town just outside of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God the Father says, I may have to punish you, and that punishment may even be harsh, but I cannot this what I cannot do. Treat you as if you were one of those pagan towns like Admah, Zeboim, Sodom, Gomorrah. For the sake of Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, brothers and sisters, behold, God, your Father in heaven. Don't let anyone ever convince you that this God sits up in the heavens, distant, removed, cold, somehow unemotional about what's happening here also in your life. Hosea chapter 11 declares that false. For the sake of Christ, we have an eternal, loving Father. Trust Him. He does love us. Trust Him, brothers and sisters, as the Catechism says, so much that even if you doubt your earthly dad from time to time, and who has not done that? But don't doubt your heavenly Father. Because He's the Holy One, Hosea 11 verse 9. He's not a man. He's different. He's in a completely different category. Because every earthly father is finite. He's limited. He can only do so much. Oh, he may be able to fix a car, no matter what the problem is. But your earthly father, he can't fix all the problems in life. He can't fix all the problems in your life either. He just can't. He's a man. He's not God. And when you go to your father and you say, Father, this is really complex. Tell me, what do I do here? Father thinks about it, maybe even prays about it. He He gives you some advice, maybe with trepidation. And maybe it works out well, and maybe it doesn't turn out so well. Your dad is limited. In wisdom too, he is but a man, after all. But you must not take that experience, brothers and sisters, and push it up unto your heavenly Father. Because He's the Almighty Creator. There is no limit. There is no boundary which says, now the Heavenly Father has no more strength. Now He has no more wisdom. Absolutely not. He's Almighty. And that is shown so clearly in His work of creation. Eternal Father, who out of nothing, but don't let those familiar words fail to resonate, out of absolutely nothing, He created heaven and earth and everything that's in them. He did it all in 6 days. If He had wanted to, He could have done it all instantly. But He chose and He did it in 6 days. Now that's indescribable power. How you start with nothing. And after 6 days of let there be, let there be, let there be, there's all of this. All of that. And everything that's down below. And then we look in our lives. And we may go through, to use the words of the Catechism, their veil of tears, a tough spot. And our heart wants to say, there's nothing here. No hope, there's no light, there's nothing good coming here. Brothers. Sisters, trust your Father. Trust Him so much that we don't doubt that He can, from the midst of this veil, this valley of tears, where we say there's nothing here, He knows how to bring something out of nothing. Look around us. And that's hard. It's really hard. Let's not underestimate that a bit. But the same God who has the power out of nothing to literally bring everything, He can also take things, He can turn them, He can transform them. When He made Adam, He didn't make Adam out of nothing. He took some dust. What's dust? He took some dust, some dirt from the ground, and He transformed that into a man. And then He took a bone, a rib from Adam. He took that, He transformed that to a woman, a wife. The mother of all living. Behold the power of your God. He can take things which we would say, what is that? A little bit of dirt, a bone. And He can turn and He can transform them. Trust your God. He can do it. The proof is all around us. And I know. When you get to the bottom of the veil of tears, you say, oh, I want to trust like that, but I still find it hard. And that's the moment that we stop looking at creation, as valuable as that is, and take a moment to look at the Christ. After all, we are only children of the Father for His sake. The Christ, His own Son, went through 3 long hours of hellish agony, the likes of which no word can describe. And the Father took those 3 hours of hell and He turned and He transformed that through Christ into an eternity of heaven for you, for all those who in humble faith say, I believe in this great God. Now He who can take 3 hours of hell and transform that in His grace to an eternity of heaven, this is a Father who is trustworthy. And even when we doubt, and doubts we do struggle with, let's be honest, but God reveals Himself as the trustworthy one, as the always faithful, faithful one. And so, brothers and sisters, when the Father takes you through a valley of tears, that actually comes straight from Psalm 84, and that's where we'll end our worship service this afternoon. The Psalm 84 is a beautiful psalm about the temple, but it's also about a valley. Valley of Baca. Baca, in addition to being a tree that grew in dry places, is the Hebrew word for crying. And that's what we do. When God takes us to those valleys, and sometimes those valleys go deeper and deeper and deeper, and unlike geographic valleys, we're not always so quickly up the other side either. Sometimes we're down on the bottom for a long time, maybe a lifetime. And it's right there in the valley of the crying that we say, oh Abba, are You still here? Ah, God, where are You leading? What are You doing? Look to the creation. Look to the Christ. 3 hours of hell, eternity of heaven. And then, brothers and sisters, know your Abba is faithful as always. I took you by the right hand, Hosea 11. And I'm not letting go of you now. Trust Him. He is trustworthy. Amen.